and come to Ezekiel chapter number 28. Ezekiel chapter number 28 this morning. I'll put my prophecy outline up and we'll come to Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm thankful for this blessed old book. When you set up under me, you're setting up under a preacher that believes this book that I have in front of me is the book of God. I believe it's the preserved, inerrant, infallible Word of God. I don't believe there's one mistake in it. I believe it records a lot of mistakes, but there's not one mistake in it. Not one. Not one. Not one. It is exactly the way God would have it be. I believe that. We need more preachers believing that today. I don't mean to get off on all this morning, but I believe I just get off on it. Amen. We need more preachers in the land of America that believe what they've got in their hand is the book of God. So what's wrong with America today? The preachers don't even believe what they're preaching. Amen. It ain't Washington. It's the church. It's the church, the body of Christ. We need some men of God that'll stand up and preach what this book says in the land of America today. We don't need to be tickled in our ears. We don't need to be made to feel good about ourselves so we can go out and try to make more money. Oh, Lord God. When Tiny Tim came out with Tipping Through the Tulips and his little ukulele, I believe the church caught his spirit. God knows we don't need Tipping Through the Tulips. We need some men of God, full of the Word of God, and stand back and preach. Amen. Ezekiel 28, if you'll stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Ezekiel chapter 28. It's good to have our family with us this morning. If you've not met them, that is Linda Walker, my sister-in-law. I claim her. Amen. Amen. I love that woman up there. Amen. Glad I didn't marry her, but I love her. Amen. I'm glad I married her sister. Amen. I don't think we could be married. Amen. We fuss too much. Amen. I'm thinking about buying her a nice Christmas gift. Some in this church knows what that Christmas gift is. By our nice burial plot. Amen. Amen. And Aunt Dottie. Oh, what a joy she is to be around. Amen. Ezekiel 28. The verses that we are about to read are revelatory verses. They're verses that reveal a being before us that I believe we need to be reminded that He exists. We live in an hour where everybody's wondering, where's God? And they have forgotten that there is a real devil that's doing everything he can to destroy, to kill, and to steal. He steals child of God's testimony. He kills the spirit of churches. He destroys and just completely mutilates people's lives. I don't like him. I'm no friend of his. I'll be glad the day that he gets his just reward. I'm no sympathizer of the devil. I've been pastoring 26 years, and I've seen too many lives and too many churches destroyed because of what Satan does. Many times in the Word of God is used to disclose and to reveal. Many different personages are revealed through this book. God Himself is revealed through this book. In the beginning, God. And there he is. I'm glad I know him. The book tells us about Job, tells us about Joseph. But it also tells us about the creation and the very ending of Satan. There's many types of Satan recorded in the Word of God. Pharaoh is one of those. Pharaoh in the land of Egypt is a perfect type of the devil. He did not want to let God's people go. And that's exactly what he'll try to do to you. You get saved, and he's going to try to get you, talk you in just to staying in the land and not separating yourself from this world. Pharaoh is a perfect type of the devil. Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the devil. But now we're going to enter into Ezekiel 28, where God prophetically is looking at a certain king upon earth, but using him to speak truth and revelation about Satan. I simply want to entitle this message, Satan. In verse number 11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the way, in thy ways, from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries." Isn't that an interesting expression? "Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries." The devil has churches. The devil has churches. Many of them are on TV today. "Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, and by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." My Father, this morning, as we approach this time and this text, Lord, I don't want to do anything, Lord, that it not be of thee. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for a little while, that, Lord, you would capture the heart, the minds, the attention of every individual that's in this room. I pray, Heavenly Father, that, God, you would grant unto me the utterance, the unction, and the understanding that will be needed through the course of this message. I pray, Heavenly Father, that, God, you would please settle in among us and help us. Oh, my God. Oh, my Father, I pray that you would breathe upon this congregation I pray, Heavenly Father, if there's one among us that's never been saved, that today would be the day that they'd bow the knees to the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, may Thy will be done at Murrayville Baptist Church as it is in heaven. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Satan is known by many titles. He's known as the devil. He's known as Lucifer. He's known as the serpent, the dragon. He's known as the prince of the power of the air. He's known as an angel of light. He's known as Leviathan. He's known as the tempter. And what the devil does not like about this book, the reason that there's such an attack upon the Word of God, is because this book and this book alone reveals Satan. He does not like anybody talking about him and revealing him. He does not like what this book has to say about him. He does not like any preacher to get up and preach against him. He hates everything there is about God. He hates God. He is an arch enemy of God. And he's the arch enemy of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to preach for a little while out of this text mainly. But we're going to look at a few other verses this morning. This book tells of his beginning. It tells of his ways. It tells of his devices. It tells of his subtle means. But hallelujah, it tells of his ending. I want us, first of all, out of this text, to consider Satan's forming. His form. F-O-R-M-I-N-G. Forming. He is a created being. He was created by God. In verse 13, the very last verse, in the day that thou was created. In verse 15, from the day that thou was created. He is not eternal. He is not all powerful. Only God is all powerful. Only God is eternal. Satan is a created being. I'm going to have a little trouble preaching this message this morning because the prince of the power of the air does not like such preaching. He is a created being. God took great delight in creating this being. Some have said, why did God create a devil? God never created a devil. He created a perfect being. And we'll get into the rest of the story in just a minute. But God created him. He was covered with every precious stone, the Word of God says. Everything that God considered precious, God placed upon this individual's life. All of the stones that we read, and by the way, that was also the stones that were used in the high priest's breastplate. And here it says that thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious thing that I could have ever placed on your life, I placed it upon your life. He's a created being. He was perfect, without spot, without blemish. He was complete. In him was pipes, the Word of God says. In the day that the tabrets and the pipes were prepared in thee. In other words, music came from this being. And music was used in those, in that time, as a form of worship to God. And no wonder Satan today has such a grip on the music of our generation. God help our young people. God help our young people not to listen to the devil's music. What we experienced this morning, the old hymns that the choir was singing. I thank God for the old hymns. I have nothing to do with this modern day rap music, contemporary junk that's coming out of the churches of today. Hoom baba boom baba boom baba. And they got nothing to do with God about it whatsoever. No wonder Satan has such a grip on the music today. He was created. His forming. He was created by God Himself. And He was promoted. He's called the anointed cherub that covereth. In the original creation when Satan was first made, we know from Scripture that there were four cherubim round about the throne. But there was a fifth cherub that covered the throne. Whenever you would look at God in all of His glory, whenever His creation would look at Him and behold all of the glory of God and hear the music that would cause people to worship God and sing praises to Him, they would see the light bearer. They would see this created being. He would just exude the light and glory of God. And there He was in all of His glory, in God's glory, above the throne of God. That's how He was created. That's how He was formed. It was God that put Him in that position. It was God that placed Him there. Satan was created by God for a given purpose, and it was to give glory and honor unto God Almighty. I got to thinking a while back. I tried to imagine it in my mind, and my mind's just too corrupted and it's too finite that I really can't understand or comprehend some of this. But I tried to imagine and go back before time, before any creation, before God ever created anything. And I tried to imagine just God. God was before anything. God's never been created, never had a beginning. He's eternal past, eternal future, always will be God. Always has been God. And there was God, self-sufficient, self-sustaining, God Almighty. Oh, I'm glad to know that God. Oh, I'm glad to know that that God is my God. That God is my Savior. Thank God. I know that all-existing God. But there was God, nothing but God. And here was God, and the Bible says that He is love. That God is love. One of the hardest verses in all of the Word of God to preach is that God is love. And so God, without any obligation, without being forced by anybody, because there was nobody but God, He created. God created. God created. God is a creator. There's not but one creator. There may be inventors, but there's only one creator, and that's God Almighty. God created everything that there is. The sun, the moon, the stars, the angels, the cherubim, everything. And He created you and I. Thank God. Thank God. I'm glad I don't believe in evolution. I know some of us look like we came from monkeys, but thank God I don't believe in it. Amen. We are created beings of God. Thank God. God is a creator. And God created this perfect being in the very beginning. His forming. God promoted Him. The Bible says in Psalm 75, "For promotion cometh neither from the east or the west or from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, He setteth up another." Daniel chapter 2 says, "Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, and He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding." Everything that Satan had, everything that he was created by God and given to him by God Almighty. God created a perfect being. His forming. But then we also see in this text His folly. It says in verse number 17, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." Would you hold your place and come back to Isaiah 14 with me this morning? Isaiah 14. Hold Ezekiel 28. Come back to Isaiah chapter 14 with me. In verse number 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. His folly. He thought because of his pride. He thought because of his position. He thought because of who he was and his perfection. He thought that he could be just like God. But can I remind you that there is only one true and living God? And thank God the day that Jesus Christ went into that wilderness and Satan came and tempted him. He looked at Satan. He said, it is not lawful for you to tempt the Lord thy God. Satan has a God. Hallelujah. And that God is still on the throne. He's never going to be cast down. Thy God is still there. Always will be there. And Satan wanted to be just like God. You know, Through the years, I've been asked questions, silly questions. And I heard it on the radio the other day. Somebody called in this Bible panel that was answering questions and they wanted to know, well, can God create a rock so big that He can't even move it? No. No, God wouldn't create a rock, so what would He need that for? And God did not create a creation that can overpower Him. He's greater. God is the greatest power that there is, the mightiest. He is God Almighty. But Satan does have power. Satan does have a will, and he willed. He said five times, I will, I will, I will. And he wanted to be just like God. You know what he wants this morning? He wants you to bow down and worship him. He wants you to cast your crowns at his feet and claim him as your God. But can I tell you, there's another God that loves you and cares about you and that wants to be your God. You don't have to listen to the voice of the devil. I believe many a person has sold their soul out to Satan to reach a height of fame in their own lives. His folly. The reason God hates pride is because Satan is proud. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. Isaiah 23:9, the Lord of hosts had purposed it to stain the pride of all glory. Isaiah 28:1, woe to the crown of pride. Daniel 4:37, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Obadiah verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. In 1 John 2:15, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Job 41:34 says about the devil, said he beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. God hates pride because it was first found in Satan. And Satan tempts people with pride. Satan's forming, Satan's folly. I want to talk thirdly about his fierceness. In verse number 19, it talks about, Ezekiel 28 talks about thy terror. And here's where we might just camp for just a little while. His terror. He is tenacious at being the devil. He does not let up. He does not take a vacation. He takes no rest. Satan takes no holidays. Satan is always busy being the devil. And may I say this, he's a good devil. He's good at what he does. And he's tenacious with it. He's fierce with it. He means business when he enters a person's life. He means business when he visits your house. He means business when he visits your church. He means business when he visits your mind. He means business when he visits your temptations. He means business whenever he shows up in your life. Satan has not just passed by just to drop a little blessing. Satan has showed up so that he might be able to destroy or kill or steal something out of your life. He's a tempter. He'll tempt people in various ways about God. He tempts some to believe that there is no God. Matter of fact, those kind of people have their own holiday. It's called April Fool's Day. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And atheists, did you know atheists have their own churches today? And they're led by none other than Satan himself. And they claim they have seen some value in the way that churches operate. So they decided, well, if churches can do that, we can do the anti-church thing. And we can have a so-called church, but we're going to call it an atheist church. And they have masses of people. I'm talking about in America. In America, masses of people that go through the doors and sit in the whatever kind of meetings they have and listen to people get up and talk about the fact that there is no God. May I remind every one of us in this room that there is a God in heaven. Thank God for that knowledge this morning. I'm glad I'm not an atheist. I'm glad I'm a believer. I'm glad that my mind hasn't become corrupted and to where I don't even believe in a God. He tries to tempt some to believe that there's no God. He tries to tempt some to believe he had me this way before I got saved. He tries to tempt some to believe that God's really not involved in the affairs of men. That, oh yeah, there's a God. He's up there, but he's not really involved. If God weren't involved in what's going on down here, we would be in a mess. Thank God, God's hand is still seen in our lives. If the worst thing that could ever happen to any person in this room is for God to leave you alone. Aren't you glad that God bothers you about your sins? Aren't you glad that God bothers you about your ways and the things that you do at times? Aren't you glad that there's a God in heaven that bothers you? But the tempter, he tempts people to think many different things about God. He tries to tempt people to think that God's just a bully sitting in heaven and he's got a list of 10 commandments and 10 don'ts that he wants people to live by. There's a greater truth about God than that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad that that same God that does have 10 commandments also had a son that he sent into this world to die for the sins of you and I. Amen. His fierceness, he is a terror. In his path is nothing but death and destruction. He is a tempter. He is a troubler. He brings trouble into people's lives. He'll trouble your life and try to make you think that God does not even care. He'll trouble your life, trouble your mind, trouble your family. He'll trouble churches. He'll do everything that he can just to bring trouble into somebody's life. He brings trouble into people's lives to confuse, to cloud, and ultimately to get them mad at God. I've seen it happen too many times. Something happens in somebody's life and it happens and they don't understand. And the next thing you know, they get mad at God. They're blaming God for everything and they can't see nothing but the worst of it all. I'm glad even in the bad times that God can turn things and make them good. I'm glad even in the bad times that there's a God in my life that is there and He's orchestrating my life and putting my life the way it should be. Thank God that there is a God in heaven that cares about His people. He's a troubler and He is tenacious. He's not going to leave you alone. I don't mean to be a bearer of bad news this morning, but I believe we need to be reminded of this stuff today. He's not going to leave you alone. If you think you got Him whipped, He's got you whipped. If you think you got the upper hand, He's got the upper hand. The Bible says in the book of Revelation 12:12, it said, "Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more fierce He's going to become in people's lives. I hate to see what He does to young people's lives. I hate seeing how He tempts young people to believe that virginity is nothing and they give up their virginity. Oh, I wish I had more of God's people right there. Get mighty lonely up behind this pulpit. Tries to tempt young people into believing that, oh God, I can wait till I'm old. You may not see your old days. Brother Joe Chancey was with us, you know, last Sunday, and we were sitting around. He said, "You ever watch Swamp Murders?" And I said, "No." He likes anything about the swamp because he's a swamper. And he said, "You ought to watch that sometime." So I started recording it. And it's pretty interesting. Had some pretty good things on there. But there was one that I watched, and it was about this young lady, young girl. She was just early teens, maybe 14, 15 years old. Had parents that loved her, and they tried to raise her right, but she rebelled. Rebelled against her parents. Young people, the Bible still says that you ought to honor your parents. You ought to honor your father and your mother. Well, she rebelled at an early age, 13, 14, 15 years old. And she decided she was going to run away from home. And this was down in Florida somewhere, and around the swampy areas of Florida. And she got out there on the road and she started hitchhiking. She thought she had everything going her way now. She thought everything was going to turn around and be grand and glorious in her life. She started putting her thumb up and hitchhiking, and some pervert came by and picked her up. Abused her body and then murdered her. And for a long time it took the detectives to discover what happened and even find her body. That was just thrown away to the wayside. That's the devil. Every young person, I want you to understand this morning, there is a real devil that wants your life. Matter of fact, he's got his mark. He's got every person zeroed in. He wants your life. When you get to thinking, oh, he'll never mess with me, you're too high for crutches. You've done got too high in your mind. He wants your life. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. He's got his mark on you. I just believe we need this kind of preaching. I just believe we need to be reminded of reality. Another show that I watched, The Swamp Murders, is about a preacher. That one really caught my eye. And it showed at the beginning, the outset of that show, that recording, this preacher said that he was an evangelist. He didn't pastor. He was an evangelist. Said that he loved more than anything else taking the Word of God and preaching Jesus. Said that he was the kind of person that whenever he would go anywhere, no matter where he was, that he was the kind that would just walk up, never met a stranger, and just start talking to people. And before long, the the conversation would turn to Jesus. And it was just that kind of individual. They showed segments of him up behind pulpits and preaching. And of course, it was a reenactment because now he's dead. But it was a reenactment that showed segments of him up there preaching and people just praising the Lord. It interviewed his wife and interviewed his daughter that he left behind. As the show went on, it told about how he loved the beach. He loved going to the beach. He loved going down there with his rod and reel and doing some fishing. And he got to going at nights and doing some night fishing. What people did not know. Well, let me say this. One day this beachcomber went out on the beach and found his body with an arrow shot right through his heart. The detective started investigating and started digging and could not make sense out of this murder. Why that man wound up on the beach with an arrow through his heart. And after years of investigation, found out that he was living a double life. That he liked men. And that's why he was going to the beach at night. And he approached the wrong man. You see, Satan's real. Satan's not playing. Satan's not... This morning before Sunday school started, we was over there playing rock, paper, scissors, rock, paper, scissors, rock, paper, scissors. I was getting whooped. Satan's not playing games. I need to say that one again. Satan is not playing games. His fierceness. But I am glad for this last point. His finale. Thou shall be cast down to hell. I don't know how you're going to react in that day. But along about that time in the Word of God, it says, and all the saints of God were saying, Hallelujah. I'm going to be shouting. The day I see Satan get his just reward, I'm going to raise my hands in praise, saying, thank God he saved me. Jesus Christ saved me. And thank God I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know why people would want to follow somebody like this. I don't know why people would listen to someone like this. I don't know why people would give their lives to someone like this. May I just make just a few observations? He attends every church meeting. He attends every church meeting. He'll try to get you to get your feelings hurt and ride your feelings. He'll tempt you with evil thoughts while you're sitting in the church house. He'll try his best to come by and snatch the Word of God out of your heart to where this message don't even have any effect on you. That's one of the parables. He comes by. He wants to take the Word of God out of all of your hearts. If you can get the Word of God out of your heart, you'll live a lawless, reckless life with no morality about it. Oh, by the way, while God's reminding me of it, the other day, me and Deb were at the house and we were just sitting down, just doing some resting and had the TV on and a commercial came on. I could not believe what I was seeing on the commercial. It was an advertisement for a motel chain. And there was two guys standing in a room. Two guys standing in a room talking about what comfort that motel offered them with their stay at that motel. Young people, guys with guys is ungodly and immoral. Girls with girls is ungodly and immoral. Can I get a witness from Crosby? We were at the house again. I'm just telling you the age in which we're living. We were at the house again. And we weren't watching TV. We just had the TV on. And I think I was in the kitchen and it must have been the Lord. I just directed my attention to the TV. And it was another commercial. The commercials are X-rated. It was another commercial. And it would have these Hollywood stars, you know, that everybody's just oohing and ahhing over. And, oh, Lord, that's just the greatest. And one at a time, a movie star would come on and one would appear and it'd say, if you're a man. Then that Hollywood star would disappear. Another Hollywood star would come up. If you're a woman. Then another one would come in view and said, if you're a man that loves men. And then another one, if you're a woman that likes women. And on and on and on and on it went. And the whole thrust and theme of the commercial at the end was one of those Wahlberg guys. That everybody's just, ooh. Is celebrate difference. If you don't think there's a real Satan that's warping the minds and morality of people today to make them think that such lifestyle is okay. There is a devil. He attends every church meeting. He desires to interrupt every synagogue's life with misery. Can I ask the church to do this? Are you listening to me? Let's backslide on the devil. What about that for a change? Let's backslide on him. The Bible says this, says James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let's backslide on the devil. Why is it so?